no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I've got something today I want to talk about, and Daniel, I know, knows this because Daniel and I worked on this. Somebody sent me a message the other day asking for me to talk about joy and happiness. And I've actually written two books on happiness. First one was called Happy Stories, or excuse me, rather Happy This Year. And then the second book that I wrote, working with Daniel, was I wrote the book, but he was like my guy there at the publishing house. I also wrote Happy Stories, which is about 50 people, 50 of the happiest people that I found in the world. I interviewed them and I asked them each for happiness tips. So this is the book that I'm going to be predominantly working with this morning. And the interesting, I listen to a coronavirus podcast every day. It's about 8 minutes long. It's with Sanjay Gupta from CNN, their medical expert. And the one from last night was all about the fact that we are all having, not all, but a lot of people are having some weird, strange, and unsettling dreams. I had one two nights ago, such that I had to call my daughter and tell her about it, call my friend and tell him about it, et cetera, because they were in it. And what they're saying is that right now, we are way more stressed than we even realize. That we know we're anxious, we know we're worried about money, we know we want to get back to work, et cetera, et cetera. We know we're concerned about people we love, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't realize at what a deep emotional level this is affecting us. However, when we sleep, our dreams are reflecting it. They interviewed a woman who was a sleep expert, and she was talking about how people who are on the front line of the coronavirus are having the same types of dreams as soldiers who have been in battle, serious battle, and they are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. The most common dream they said that we are having is people are dreaming that there are bugs swarming all over them and they can't stop it. Well, that shouldn't be a surprise, should it? And the most common dream that people who are working in the hospitals are having is hooking people up to ventilators and the ventilators doing no good and then sitting there and watching the person die. So I'm saying all of that in the context of I want to talk about happiness today. I'm not saying that we can walk around and be as happy as before, but I think that we never really gave much thought to happiness in the first place, and that's one of the big challenges. Happiness is eschewed here in the United States. Being happy is considered to be kind of naive. Have you noticed that? A lot of people who are political figures and everything feel that it's important to scowl because they show the seriousness and the severity of what they're doing. And people who are happy or who define themselves as happy are often considered to be naive, bliss ninnies. How can you be happy when everything in the world is going wrong? Now, that they would have said even before the virus. So you see, it's always relative. One of the things we need to remember when it comes to happiness is that we are the offshoot of a puritanical culture. If you don't believe me, just look at sexual mores and how sex is presented around the world. I remember when I was a kid, my parents and I went to Europe. I think I was a kid and I was like 14. But there was a billboard that showed a woman's breasts, and I thought I was going to faint because you would never see that in the United States. There are remnants of the puritanical culture that existed, that founded this country, and we're still living under it. And one of the things that Puritans do not care for is happiness. I forget who said it, and I was going to look it up before we got started this morning, but you can look it up. A Puritan is someone who lives in eternal fear that someone somewhere is happy. Let me say that again. Constant fear, I think it is. A Puritan is someone who lives in constant fear that somewhere, someone might be happy. Happiness was actually considered to be a negative trait. It's one of the reasons you don't see people smiling in old pictures. Now, there's several other reasons. It's harder to hold a smile than it is to sit stoically, and in most cases, the exposure time could be 10 to 30 seconds for the picture. And the other thing is, a lot of people had bad teeth, but it was more important to look respectable. Now, we're coming around in this country. I truly believe we are. You know, these are the kinds of smiles that you tend to see. But it's important to notice that as you're driving around, who smiles and who doesn't, on like billboards and everything, you know? Morning show, you know, attorney. You know, the attorney is supposed to look like he is not happy. He's out there fighting for you. And the morning show person looks like they are happy. I want to say, I was trying to remember who it was that asked me to talk on this subject. I think it was Cynthia. And as I mentioned, I've actually written two books on happiness, Happy This Year and Happy Stories. Both of them are available if you go to acomplaintfreeworld.org. Let me say that again, acomplaintfreeworld.org, and click on full store at the bottom. Click on full store, and that's where you'll see all my books and everything. We'll be happy to send you one if you want to purchase it, of course. Anyway, I learned a lot writing these books on happiness. And if I can wake him up, Daddy, come here. Come here again. Come here. Come here. He's on the pillow now. And if I were to get up and go get him, that would be one thing. But he's on the pillow. But I can refer to him in just a minute. I want to talk with you about sort of the high points and the takeaways about what I learned about happiness. And number one, as I said, in writing these books, by the way. And this book, I think, is up to like 12 languages that this book is being published in. I know it just came out in the Czech Republic. Oh, and I heard, by the way, thank you to those of you in Germany and France. I just found out that all my books had a huge year this last year in Germany and France. The year before, China was just sold 250,000 copies. So it's very exciting to see my work getting out there and helping other people. But I'm going to synopsize this morning. And number one, I want to acknowledge that it's more difficult right now to feel happy than it is in most times. But it is possible. And this could be a time for you to cultivate that happiness such that when we come out of it, you'll feel even happier. In an article that I quote in my book, this is from a 2009 Psychology Today article. It says, "What is happiness? The most useful definition, and it's one agreed upon by neuroscientists, psychiatrists, behavioral economists, and we talked about behavioral economics yesterday, if you recall, positive psychologists and Buddhist monks, is more like satisfied or content than happy in the strict bursting with glee sense. We tend to think that happiness is like this constant feeling of, you know. Now, happiness is actually, they call it subjective contentment. I like that. Psychiatrists who study happiness, they don't even use the word happy. It's too squishy. It's subjective contentment. Now, contentment means I feel good about what's going on. Subjective means I'm the one making that decision. I'm the one who chooses whether I'm happy or not, and I get to define whether I'm happy or not. Now, this is a book, but I could tell you that this is a refrigerator. I could think this is a refrigerator, but it's a book. When it comes to happiness, how we define our happiness is what's so important. And when we think if we're not bursting with glee, then we're not happy, that's just simply not true. I want you to think about the fact that happiness runs on a scale from 1 to 10, and that it is subjective where on that scale you land. Now, it can have to do with things that have happened in your life, and please don't start complaining about stuff that's happened in your life. I'll tell you stories about people who have it much worse and are happier, okay? It is subjective. So one of the things that's helpful is to ask yourself where on that continuum you fall. Are you a 3? Are you a 10? Are you a 5? And then to try and make it a goal. Yes, a goal. And I've gotten some flare up from people about this, but this book, Happy This Year, in which I talk a lot about this, has a lot of 5-star reviews on Amazon. Now, there's some people who think I'm a crank, but that's okay. You need those sacred clowns. But to truly make happiness something that you are aware of, for us, it is so easy to focus on the negative emotions. I was listening to The Daily, which is my favorite podcast. It's from the New York Times. And in it, they were interviewing a little girl who had lost her grandfather to the COVID virus. And she was talking about the fact that happiness is kind of surface and you can feel it, whereas sadness is very deep. I think there's a part of us that really wants those deep emotions, and sadness and irritation and anger are so easy to hang on to, whereas happiness is a little more ephemeral. And what is happiness? Let me give you another quote. This is from J.D. Salinger, the author of The Catcher in the Rye. This is not in The Catcher in the Rye. It's in another book he wrote called Didomier Smith's Blue Period. He said, the most singular difference between happiness and joy is that happiness is a solid and joy is a liquid. Now, I go into that a lot, but if you think about it, a solid stays around, a liquid just evaporates over time. And it's normal for joy to evaporate. If we walked around stuck in joy all the time, it would actually get to be very, very uncomfortable. So I want to talk with you today in our remaining minutes about, number one, it's important to consider yourself being happy. It is, there's nothing wrong with being happy. And I'm going to give you some of the top takeaways from some of my books. Since, like I said, I spent more than 2 years studying this and ended up writing two different books. So, number one, you need to label yourself as happy. You literally need to define yourself as a happy person. I remember when I read this and trying to work it in when I'm talking to people, saying, you know, I am so happy about the spring rolls at this Thai restaurant today, just to get the word happy in there. But I also found that as you're lying in bed going to sleep at night, the most common thing for us to do is to ruminate and worry, because our egos are more in control at night when we're going to sleep, when we're waking up. So it's very common for us to worry and to ruminate. Maybe that's why we're having trouble with nightmares and dreams. So it's important to just say to yourself, I am happy. I am happy. I know that sounds naive and stupid. And if you think it's naive and stupid, then I'm challenging you to do it. I'm challenging you to say, I am happy, over and over and over again as you fall asleep at night, and see if it does not increase your happiness level. Now, why would it? Tony Robbins figured out why affirmations work. We talked the other day about affirmations. And the reason affirmations work, I am successful, I am whatever. The reason they work is that if you say them over and over again with your conscious mind, I am happy, I am happy, I am happy, the subconscious mind always questions what the conscious mind says. And so what it does is it begins to say, why are you happy? And immediately asking that question, it begins to look for reasons why you're happy. You begin to notice things that make you feel happy. So number one, you want to define yourself as a happy person. There's nothing naive or ignorant about it. What's naive and ignorant is to go through your life telling yourself you're unhappy, which makes you look for things to be unhappy about. So number one, label yourself as happy. Number two, I'm going to come back to that one if I can get Teddy over. And if not, I'm going to tell you the story. Number two, compare yourself to others. What? I'd always heard that people who compare themselves to others are less happy. Well, it's true, but it depends on whom you compare yourself to. That's the big thing. Now take this in. There's actually been, I forget his name, but there was a lot of studies done at Harvard University, and they sought to quantify happiness, etc. And one of the things that they found is that truly happy students compare themselves to other students, but not students they feel have or have accomplished more than them. In other words, they compare themselves to people who have it worse than them. And there's nothing wrong with that. Your mind is probably going to compare yourself. So are you comparing yourself to people who have it better, nicer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Sometimes I get so jealous when I look at my agent, my literary agent, Steve's Facebook posts. Because he lives in this most beautiful community and has a wonderful dog and a wonderful wife and two great kids and all this. Now, I know Steve, he lives the life. So for him, it's, but I look at it on Facebook. Now, what do I know? When Steve takes a picture of him and his dog Luigi and they're walking, he puts a filter on it and he crops it and he takes the 12 pictures and he only puts the best one. They say that people who constantly are on Facebook are less happy than people who are not. Why? Because all of us put our most idealized pictures and our best stuff. I don't share what I look like unshaven in a ratty t-shirt. I share what I look like when I look good and the lighting is good. And as a result, people tend to think I look better, live better, and we all do that. So we then become envious of the other person. What we need to do is to make ourselves aware of some of the challenges other people are having and then give thanks that we're not living through that. That's what happy people do. So number one, affirm that you're a happy person. Number two, compare yourself to people who don't have it as well as you, and that will make you feel better. Number three is help others, period, period, period. You're going to hear that over and over again. I was thinking about it this morning. The happiest time I have known in the last year has been doing these live jump starts. Now, I've been doing jump starts for years. If you look at my Will Bowen video, if you go to www.willbowenvideo.com, there's like 500 of these in there. But now I do them live during the virus. So I wake up with something to look forward to. What am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to helping you. I'm not even gonna look down, all right? But I'm looking forward to helping Cynthia and Mark and Jerome and Vicky and Michelle. And there are so many of you, Patty, that are here every single day. I don't want to look down because I don't want to read your names, but I know you're here. I feel like I'm getting to know you. And many of you said you feel like you're getting to know me. But when I am getting ready to do this, I am in such a good mood. My breathing is slow and deep. And when I'm done, I'm high. I am just upbeat. I feel great. And it's not the energy of putting it out in front of a camera. It's knowing that I've been able to share something that's going to help you today. So who are you helping? Who are you giving attention to? When I wrote my book, Happy Stories, which is about 50 people, 50 of the happiest people that I know or have could find. And I wrote their, I interviewed them, wrote their stories, and then I asked them each for their best suggestions on being happy. And so there are 50 people, three suggestions each. There's 150 tips on being happy. However, the number one person I wanted in this book is not in this book. You know why? She wouldn't let herself be in this book. You know why? Because the reason she is so happy is that she gives so much to others and she didn't want the attention on her. That would diminish the giving. Even if I was doing it as, no, 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 it's almost like, you know, it's a reward. No, I don't need to be rewarded. Don't want to be rewarded. I don't want to take the focus off helping other people. What does that mean, helping other people? Well, she owns my favorite restaurant in Kansas City. She also owns two or three other restaurants. Her sister owns a couple of restaurants. And the two of them decided to go together and buy a restaurant. And they would take all of the profits from that restaurant and they would fill containers with things that school children and their families needed. Containers, like a truck would pull, okay? Fill containers with them. Everything from desks to clothes to hygienic products to school books, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they fill these containers and then they send them off to cities in Kenya. Is that not the cool thing? They run this restaurant with the idea of not making any money for themselves, but just so they can give it away and make the world a better place. I tear up when I think about it. So find some way that you are serving other people. The people who give are the happiest people. And then the last thing I want to share with you is anchor happiness. And I wanted to use Teddy as an example, but he doesn't want to come over here right now. So I'm going to just tell you about Teddy. About a year ago, many of you know I'm getting divorced. And I know the number one question we all have is why? What happened? And I wish I had an answer to that. I can tell you that I was in China on a speaking trip the week before, and we talked every day on the phone like we always had for 10 years. She sent me cards telling me how wonderful I was and she loved me. And then we had an argument, which was not a big argument. We argued less than most people. I even kept records of it. And we argued a lot less than most people, but she said, I want a divorce. And that was that. I mean, it was, and I felt like my legs had been cut off. I felt like I couldn't breathe. I remember waking up in the middle of the night and having a panic attack and just going out on the deck and breaking down, just crying. And I thought I would never feel happy again. And I was sitting there with Teddy in my arms and I was crying. And I began to ask myself, if I'm gonna feel happy again, what does happy feel like? And I asked myself, where in my body do I feel happiness? You know, and of course it's in my heart. And I held Teddy and I felt so much love and joy and happiness in that if everything in the world, and in that moment it seemed like everything in the world had been taken away from me because we had businesses together and all of this, children that were, her kids were my kids, et cetera. And it was all over in that moment. And I just held Teddy and I felt the feeling of happiness in having him and loving him and him loving me. And I began to amplify that feeling. And whenever the sad, crashing feeling came around me that felt me, made me feel like I couldn't breathe, I focused on that feeling. And most of us have never focused on the feeling of happiness. Remember, happiness is a solid, joy is a liquid. Happiness is something that is there. And most of us have never focused on it. Therefore, we've never cultivated it. And as a result, we confuse joy and happiness. As a result, I'm happier today than I ever have been. I certainly wouldn't have wanted to have gone through what I went through, but I can tell you that life is much better having gone through it. That I feel better about myself, my life, my world. I'm not always worried. This was not the first time, by the way. She had left me three times previously in 6 years of marriage. That was just what she did. She's a great person. I do not want to say anything bad about her, and it's not because I'm going through a divorce. I think she truly is. But she left her first husband, second husband, her business partner, and me. So that's simply the way it goes. I got caught up in a pattern. And I'm grateful, though, that it's over. And I've learned happiness. I've met so many new, wonderful people, and I feel just better as a result. So sometimes the worst thing that can happen is the best thing that can happen. And that's what's going to lead to our happiness. So my guess, my projection, and my prayer is that after the COVID thing is over, to whatever extent it is, we're all going to be happier. Why? Because a lot of what brought us happiness and satisfaction, like our work, was taken away from us. So when we go back, it'll seem fresh and new. So happiness is a choice. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? How happy do you want to be? And do you really know what happiness is? And what can you do to cultivate it? Remember, you go to acomplaintfreeworld.org. That's acomplaintfreeworld.org to get copies of my books, Happy This Year and Happy Stories. And depending on where you are in the world, it's probably available in your language. Okay, let me just catch up with everybody. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Love from Oregon. You know what I love, having studied, speaking of happiness, Mr. Rogers over the last year, I've read like five books, seen a couple of movies and documentaries. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, and yet we all think it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and it's one of those collective consciousness things. It's kind of interesting. not to say you are wrong, it is a beautiful day in your neighborhood, I'm sure. Heather Ellis says, hello, neighbor. Waukesha, Wisconsin is where Dominic is checking out. Lynn Ballone says, very good. Replying to Dominic says, hello, neighbor. Got it. Hola from Boston says, Jeanette, she is here. Sherry Green says, I like your story and honk if you... Oh, that's the story I should have told. You need to read that. That's in A Complaint-Free World. That's in my book, A Complaint-Free World, the one that sold 4 million copies around the world. That story was actually lifted by the people who do, I can't think of the name of it. It's a daily devotional. It's very famous, been around for years. Anyway, they lifted just my story, Honk If You're Happy, and printed it out as a publisher and sent it out over to 3 million people. So yeah, that's a great story. Thank you. Great story, wasn't it? Says Tina Hyde. Dallas says, get your rubber bands there. Yep, get your complaint-free bracelets at acomplaintfreeworld.org. I just ordered your book, Happy This Year, and I'm expecting it to be delivered today. What a coincidence that you're talking about it. Kim, that is so awesome. I thought you were joking, that you thought we were like Amazon and could get it to you like as you're ordering it. That's great. Tammy is with us this morning. Hey, Tammy. Vicky Roby is with us as well. Vicky says, sends hearts. Eris sends a heart. Top of the morning, says Patty Gay Young. Tammy says, have really enjoyed your podcast during this time. Going back to work next week, so I will have to watch at lunch. Great. I will continue to be here. I'm going to keep doing this. Patty Gay Young says, if this has meant something to you, please share it with your Facebook buddies. Yes, I have not even asked today. Thank you to so many of you who continue to share this. That's why we get thousands of viewers every single day. Right now, we got 30 people online. Well, at between now and tomorrow, this will probably be viewed by 1,000 people because of your shares. Thank you so much for that. And when you share, you're eligible to win a Will Bowen Tumblr, the world's greatest invention. Keeps hot things hot, cold things cold, and it knows which one to do. Tammy says, I'm glad you were happy. Thanks for sharing. I am. I really am just universally less anxious. I'm happier, and life is going so much better. So thank you. Thank you for being so vulnerable, says Vicky. So many of us have been right there with you. Thank you. Jerome says, on point today. Thank you, my friend. Shared. Mary Fitzpatrick O'Brien says, hi from Naples. Glad to have you here. I love that story, says Ariswan. Muriel says, bon matin. Bon matin? I don't know what matin means. I had a little bit of high school French, but I was... Busy ogling the French teacher. She was beautiful. Tammy will tell you. She probably remembers her. Lynn Ballone says, I share to specific people through Messenger, email them through YouTube. I don't say anything as I am not looking for recognition or a cup someone else could use. Very sweet of you, Lynn. That's very nice. If you do want to share and you want to possibly win a Will Bowen Tumblr, be sure and not only share, but mention that you shared. Listen, friends, we ran long this morning because, as I said, there was so much to talk about. This is a deep and rich subject. So be sure and check out my books, Happy This Year and Happy Stories. I'm not saying you have to buy them. They're at your local library. So check them out, and you'll find that there is a process to happiness, and it's one that it's good to remind ourselves of. So listen, thank you so much for letting me be happy this morning by looking forward to sharing with you and then getting to do this. Whenever I get done, people will tell you I am just super jazzed up. So have a great day, and I look forward to talking with you on Monday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Make it a great weekend. Love you all. Bye-bye.
No more complaining people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.